Open your Bibles, if you will. I'm going to read two separate passages. Let's go first to Isaiah 64. While you're turning there, man, I had the most beautiful message prepared for tonight. I really did. I preached it to myself for 2 weeks. And I was ready to preach that. And lo and behold, at about 5 o'clock, God said, That's not right. Do this. I hope that you'll understand that when we gather together, we have people from all different levels in their Christian experience. We have some that are new converts. We have some that have really matured quickly in the Lord in just a few years. We have some that are mature children of God that's served the Lord for years. We've got some that's been in church for years, but they're still on the milk. You know, you can be in the way for a long time and on the way for a long time and not go very far. That's really up to us how much we want to learn. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you get stuck at a place where you go and you feel like I'm just going to go a minimal amount. And if you want to do just as little as you can to keep yourself happy in your soul, God will let you do it. He really will. But if you want an abundance, God will give you that too. And I am approached a lot because you may not realize it, but we are very unique as a church now. Unique in the fact that we even have Wednesday night service. And unique that we have the crowds that we have on Wednesday night. And unique that we have the liberty that we have on Wednesday night. We're unique that we have Sunday night service. Many places now no longer have Sunday night. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying this is the spiritual environment of America today. Everyone wants to just piecemeal. They want just a little bit here, a little bit there. And if I need God, I'm glad He's there. And they really look at the Lord somewhat like they do an insurance policy. If I need Him, He's there. It's good. I've got the premiums paid up, so everything's good to go. And I don't worry about it. I'll just use Him as a spare tire. And God doesn't want that in our life. He really doesn't. But I'll say this, there are times where that you have to remind the church where that we're at as a church. Now don't misunderstand, after I said all of that, you're probably going to say, boy, Preacher Cal's going to give it to us tonight. No, just the opposite. I am approached constantly by people as I travel, people in the area, saying, why do you all have church all the time? Why, they'll say to me, why do you go to church all the time? Why do you do all of that? Why do you travel like that? And my sermon tonight is this one thing. This is fun. I really do feel sorry for people that's lost the joy of serving Jesus. We're not better than anyone else. The joy that He gives us, He'll give to anybody. Oh, you can be saved and go to heaven, but you know, it's great to take the trip and have the joy of the Lord. And what I'm going to say is somewhat odd, but it's the fact that there's some things you need to know about the Bible that tells us this journey is fun. Fun. Now, the first passage I'm going to read, you're first going to say, what's that got to do with anything? We'll get to that on the second point, but I want to read it all at once so I can preach and let you go. Look at Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. So he's saying, Lord, I want you to come down in your presence and in your power. When his presence comes, as when the melting fire burneth, when His presence is there, there's a fire. And the fire causes the waters to what? To what? To boil. To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Not that we tremble at His presence, but that the nations would tremble at His presence. He's saying when the presence of God comes and the fire of God comes, then there is something special about that, that even the adversaries start to say, what's going on? What's happening? Then if you will, turn to the Psalms with me. Let's go to Psalm 16 and verse 11. Keep in mind what I just read. And when I read them, you're going to say at first, what do they have to do with one another? Well, I hope by God's grace to tie it together for you. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy, there it is again, presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures, how long? Forevermore. Pleasures. Joy. This is fun. Can I tell you something? It's fun to be a Christian. How many of you, if you are just as sincere as can be, can go back into your life before that you were saved and you thought to yourself, why in the world would I ever want to become a Christian? Why, everything that I consider fun, if I get saved, those things are gone. And everything I consider fun won't be there anymore. And then what am I going to do to have fun? Then suddenly you get saved and you start to understand those things didn't give any fun in our life. It was all just pleasures for a season, as sin just has pleasures for a season. Those things run out. But with the Christian life, I'm here to tell you, I'm having a ball. I'm having the time of my life. I haven't gotten over it. All of these years later, as long as I've been preaching about it, it's fun. It's fun to tell people that the Lord has changed our life. It's fun to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. It's fun to be able to say to people, I don't have to go to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. It's fun to be able to say, my sins are forgiven. It's fun to be able to sing a song and really know what it's all about. Because we're not just saying words. It has a meaning inside of our heart. It's fun to wake up every day and say, Lord, what are we going to do today? What wonderful blessing are you going to unfold us today? It's fun not knowing who will cross your path in life and you get a witness to them and tell them of the goodness of the Lord. It's fun to look back after years of preaching the gospel now and be able to look back and have people sit in the crowd and say, hey, you remember back in 1979 when you came and preached revival and I got saved? Or to say, preacher, I've been saved for 40 years. It's fun when Larry Carter sends me a picture of me and Howard baptizing him 30-some years ago. I'm telling you, it's fun to be a Christian and to know that we are on the right side, the winning side, in a world that's gone crazy. It's good to have a security that we are saved and we know we're saved. It's fun to be a Christian. And it's fun to go to church. I love this church. I do. And I tell you what I love about this church. It's the fact it's always fun. You never know. But it's always fun. Isn't it great to be at that place where you know, wasn't it fun Sunday night when Dan came up and announced his call to preach? Well, that's fun, isn't it? Isn't it great to be able to look across the crowd and be able to mingle with people that we never dreamed our paths would cross? Some years ago, some of you used to look at one another in bar rooms and fight with one another. Now you hug one another in church. That's fun. I sat up here a little bit ago as Becca was singing. Don't misunderstand her tears. Her tears are not regrets. It's the presence of the Lord that's overflowing out of us. And I looked back and saw young people, young college people, young career age people, and I saw them standing up, hugging one another, saying in the middle of a world that's filled with chaos, it's fun to be in church. It's wonderful to see what God's doing. Wasn't it fun last Wednesday night to see people get blessed so? That's fun! That's fun! It's fun not to have a routine. We've got order. But in the end, God is the final say. Why did I read that to you out of Isaiah? Let me tell you why I read that to you. He said when the presence of the Lord comes, fire comes. And when fire comes, the water gets hot. Now, it's been fun all of these years. But I got a feeling, you know, water boils at 212 degrees. Let me back that up. Water boils at 212 degrees. You know what God impressed on my heart? Cal, this has been fun. But right now you're pastoring a church that's at 211 degrees. But we're getting ready to boil. We haven't seen anything yet. Greater things are coming. Because we are a church that we ought to go out and say, hey, listen, if you're tired of wondering about what's happening at church, you ought to come to a church that's alive. You ought to come to a place that wants the presence and the power of God. You ought to come to a place that we don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen or what's going to take place. That's fun. It's fun to go to church. I feel so sorry for you that you don't enjoy it anymore in what you do. But I'll be honest. We've got probably about 600 people that say this is their church that never darken the doors hardly. But I'm going to be honest. They're so miserable I wouldn't come to church anymore than what they do anyway. See, this will get on your nerves if you don't know the presence of the Lord. It'll bother you bad. It really will. It'll bother you bad. But when you start to get in the presence of God, you suddenly understand, I don't have to run like Josh Ward, and I don't have to shout like Tim Mitchell, but I tell you what, I can have fun while I'm here. I can get in the presence of the Lord and say, there is a place that I can go that even though there's troubles and trials in our life, I am so glad I've got a shelter in the time of storm. Look around. It's fun to see what God has done for us, to be able to come from a place when you had a group of just a few people that were led by God wound up in a schoolhouse. God brought them to purchase a schoolhouse and purchase other property. And then to see God add to that property and add to that building and add to that building and build another building and add to that building and to be able to build this and be able to build it debt free and stand in a facility like this. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun not to have to have a fundraiser every week and every month to keep the doors? So isn't it fun to be able to come and say, Lord, I don't know what you've got, but I know it's going to be good. It's just fun to come to church. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. I think the ball games are more fun. Not if you lose. But I'm here to tell you, that's why this is fun. We never lose. He gives us the victory. I'm not downgrading things that are innocent. It's all right to enjoy all of those things. But my point is, I don't want to enjoy those things more than I enjoy coming to church. I want the world to know this isn't drab and it isn't dreary. It's fun. We get to see people saved and their life changed. We get to see people healed. We get to see people helped at the most critical times in their life. I'm telling you, it's fun to come to church. And then, heaven will be fun. At His right hand is pleasures, how long? Forevermore. He's talking about eternity. See, this is fun. But when I think about going to a place where suddenly Everything is unlimited. Unlimited. Unlimited strength. Unlimited health. Unlimited goodness. Unlimited joy. See, here our joy still gets challenged. Candy and I met with a family last night in our church going through a tremendous struggle. And both of us, we could hardly sleep last night. And your families go through things. And I don't mean that to say, woe is me. If I don't care about you, I might as well quit. I really mean that. I'll do you harm and not good. But I'm here to tell you, we still have our problems down here. We're not home yet. Now, it's still fun to serve the Lord. It's fun to be able to say, I don't know what's happening and I don't have the answers, but thank God I know who does. And I know when we get in church, all of a sudden when people can make their way to an altar, they can find help from the Lord. It's fun to see God do that. Wasn't it fun to be able to purchase a church down at Blanchester for the good folks down there? Wasn't it fun to have ministries come through and see the church be able to help them with their transportation and with their needs? Hasn't it been fun to watch this church help other churches be built? That's fun to me. I'm telling you, it's fun. It's fun to drive down the highway and say, well, bless God. Lord, you let us help us put a roof on that church. Or Lord, you helped us to put air conditioning in that church. I'm telling you, it's fun, 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 fun. I don't get worked up like this because I'm angry. I'm having fun. But all of this is just part of it. Heaven's unlimited. Heaven is a place where unfulfilled dreams will become reality. See, that's the thing about life. You have dreams and it don't always turn out like you think. Moses, he had plans to go to the promised land. He did later, but it didn't happen the way he thought. He got to see it initially, but he didn't get to go in. He led them for 40 years, but he didn't get to go in. Unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled visions that we have. That happens. That's part of life. You know, in 1926, the U.S. Patent Office had one of the rarest auctions that American government has ever had. Back in the 1800s, if you applied for a patent through the United States government, you had to have a working model of whatever you were applying for a patent for. Well, by 1926, they had literally hundreds of thousands. I think if I remember correctly, they auctioned off 150,000 of these models. They were prototypes that were patented that they kept in this museum and warehouse. And they brought people in, all types of strange things, strange to us now. Like one person had invented a bed bug pincher. Maybe we'll bring that back. There was one invention that it kind of looked like a helmet with a microphone that came down, but it was like a tube that came down. And what it was is that when you snored in the night, that microphone came back up into your ears and you woke yourself up from your own snoring. All kinds of odd things that they had like that. But they auctioned off, a lot of museums got a lot of it, but they auctioned off like 150,000. One of the men that was there that saw all of this, he wrote a book about it, Shattered Dreams of a Century. Because when he looked at it and saw all of those prototypes, what he saw was unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled things. Have you ever thought about the fun we're going to have when we get to heaven? The unfulfilled dreams. There's a lot of things I dream about. Maybe you never dream, but there's a lot of things I dream about. Like, I dream that I'm going to be a great pianist. I'm not. But in heaven, I'll have enough time to learn if I want. Angie started coming to the church. She's quite a violinist from what I understand. I've always wanted to play the violin, and I can't. I don't have the time. But in heaven, I have all the time I need. Some of you have always wanted to sing, and trust me, right now you can't. Don't even try. Unfulfilled dreams. You know the best time to sing is when you're all alone. And your wife is walking the dog. That's the best time to sing. Brent Ward's been trying to get on the program here ever since he moved to Ohio. And he's still not getting on. Unfulfilled dreams. But one day, Brent, no limitations. Our dreams will be fulfilled. The things that we've always dreamed about and wanted. It'll all come reality. Have you thought about, won't that be fun? Don't ever get in your mind you're going to sit on a cloud and simply play a harp forever and everything's going to be solemn. Oh no, you read what's happening in the presence of the Lord. There's rejoicing, there's joy in the presence of the Lord. He's always commented on the joy. The 144,000 saints, they're on the mountains rejoicing and praising God. It'll be a fun place. It'll not only be fun because it'll be unlimited access. And no longer will dreams be unfulfilled. But also, needs will never be unmet. I was reading the other day about Marco Polo when he took the Silk Road into China. He traveled 24 years in Asia. 24 years he traveled there, and Kublai Khan was the emperor, and he took a great liking to Marco Polo and the Polo brothers. And he gave them what was called the golden ticket, or the golden passport. It's known by both names. And with that, he had a inscription on that, that basically what he told Marco Polo was, wherever you travel through my empire, if you need a horse, just show this. If you need food, just show this. If you need lodging, just show this. Everything that your heart desires, just show it. If you find something that you want to take back to Italy with you, just show that. And Marco Polo gathered several things, you know, a lot of things that finally impacted Europe and has even impacted our country in years to come. It's now a result of his travels through those 24 years. For example, he brought the postal system back to Italy. They had a postal system there. And he brought that back. He brought coal back. They hadn't seen coal. They knew nothing about coal. He brought back so many ideas, different spices and silk. They had no idea about silk until Marco Polo went there. And he brought all of those things back. Somebody said that he was responsible for pizza. I've never been able to prove that, but if he is, I say glory to God. Whoever did it. But he had a golden passport that said, any need you have, it will not go unmet. Everything you need is in that golden ticket, that golden passport. Can I tell you something? Jesus is our golden ticket. And when we get to heaven, everything we need, all we have to do is point to the Lamb on the throne and say, that's my golden passport. And every need will be met. Sometimes we pray for needs here that's not met. Some needs are met. You say, preacher, why does that happen? Well, I believe it's kind of like this. I think sometimes heaven gives us souvenirs. Tokens from heaven. Heaven does certain things that we can say, this is directly from the Lord. This is directly from the hand of God. There's people here tonight that can testify to that. I've heard Howard Norlene talk about when he lost his job and they found out they were expecting Ben. They were, 40 years of age, started school, didn't have income. And when they needed groceries, they'd go home and there'd be a bag of groceries there. That's a souvenir from heaven. That wasn't from a person. That's a souvenir from heaven. I've got souvenirs from all around the world. I've got a snake skin. Yeah, it's 21 feet long. Yeah, it was. They didn't kill it, but they got it as a souvenir. And I've got that as a souvenir. Boy, you're already looking crazy. But when I see that, I'm reminded of our missionaries that we helped there. It reminds me to continue to pray for them because that was a souvenir. I've got things from the Holy Land that's souvenirs that's so valuable to me. I've got little things simple things like pocket knives that are a souvenir to me. There's souvenirs that heaven gave me. Then there's bigger souvenirs that heaven has given to me. The times when we didn't know how we would make it or what we would do. The times when we faced $1 million in medical bills and had no insurance. But yet we'd go to Children's Hospital. I met Bruce and Jamie up there. Every month they were there for an appointment. Every month we were there for an appointment. Every month I'd do the same thing, knowing that month we owed anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 or $20,000 every month with no insurance. We were only making $165 a week. And we'd go up there and we'd say, what are we going to do? And I'd go into this particular lady's office and she'd take a big red rubber stamp and stamp it, paid in full. I'm telling you, those are souvenirs from heaven. Souvenirs from heaven. When I see Candy, my mind goes back to 1.5 years ago when she was laying in our living room floor, not knowing where that we were headed. And to see her here tonight, raise her hand. That's a souvenir from heaven. To see some of you that were on the bed of death that God raised up and give you life. That's a souvenir from heaven. But may I remind you where those souvenirs come from. All of those things that people have given, as great as they are, that's just a portion of what's really there. Everything that I could name to you, it's just a portion of what heaven really has. And if it's this good here, getting those souvenirs from heaven, what's it going to be when we finally make it home? I'm telling you, I believe heaven is fun. And if you're lost tonight, I sum it up like this. If you're unsaved tonight, you think you're having fun, but it don't last. But the pleasures at the right hand of the Lord last forever. Forevermore. You know why you all want to get saved? Because being a Christian is fun. It is. Coming to church is fun. I don't know about you. It wasn't a drudgery or a chore for me to come tonight. It was fun. And going to heaven, that's the ultimate fun. I compare an unsaved person to this. Have you ever, probably the closest amusement park to us is Camden Park. How many of you remember Camden Park? How many of you have ever been to Camden Park? Okay. Camden Park, you know where it's at. We were by there not long ago, and Candy said, I cannot believe the amount of people going in there lined up. It's amazing after all these years. They were having fun. But you know what? I travel that road a lot in the winter. I have to go that way to certain churches, certain meetings. And you know, in the winter, they close that place down. No rides are running. No funnel cakes, no elephant ears, no corn dogs. No people, no lines. And I look at that as though it's absolutely desolate. And you wonder, have they closed? Is that it? But come spring, they grease everything up, work on everything, fire it back up. They start heating up the grease and dropping the corn dogs. Glory to God, I'm getting hungry. And there's people having fun. You don't see it, but as an unsaved person to us, when we look at you, you're like that amusement park in the winter. You're just a shell of what can be. But oh, if you ever come to the Lord, it'll be the spring and summer of your life. And everything will come to life. and everything will change. And your views will change. And your life will change. And your home will change. You'll look at things differently. Everything will change. And suddenly what seems so drab becomes fun. So I come to have some fun tonight. How about you?